glad to have you along. And if they made a nice pill, Stan needed to take one today.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
It's the weather.
I don't know if it's the weather, just the way I woke up. Maybe it's just the way I'm wired.
I did not wake up well today either. And I allow myself plenty of sleep.
Of course you do.
But as I was viciously slapping at the snooze bar.
Mm-hmm, to give yourself that extra 15.
Yeah. Well, based on your advice,
yes.
I said, hey, may as well. It's raining outside, so it's kind of hard to tell what time of day it really is.
Oh, yeah. It was 10 o'clock at my house. It was pouring, and it looked like night.
And somehow, and I don't know how I do this. It was hell when we did the morning shift. Somehow, every once in a while, not often, but I'd say once every 6 weeks, somehow I hit a button, I don't even know where it is, that turns the actual time, not the alarm, but the actual time reverts to Pacific time, where it's 3 hours earlier.
Yeah, that's great.
I think I got all the time in the world. Why is the alarm going off now?
Your body clock should have told you that.
No. So you needed a nice pill? Did you have to even deal with anything today?
Just the minor, low-level crap.
As long as you don't have to come into contact with too many people, you don't need a nice pill.
For the most part. But I can feel it just under the surface that I'm not looking at the good side of people today. I'm looking at their negative side, and I want to just go at them. Mm. And that's bad. But part of...
So it's not based on anything? It's just some sort of, like a chemical imbalance?
And I'm recognizing it. And
well, I could give you a pill. Scientists aren't sure exactly how it works, but you have to take it for 6 weeks, and then you probably won't notice anything. Because we're not exactly sure how or why this works.
I don't know either. You know, and I was thinking this, too, because I have a cold drink with me, and I was in that frame of mind. I said, you know what? I might want a cup of coffee. Kind of like perk me up a little bit.
Well, yeah, but that can also exacerbate you not having a nice pill to take.
But then again, I look at the coffee maker I bought for the mornings, and that hasn't been cleaned in ages.
No, I ran just a pot of just water through it when we went to afternoon.
Yeah, coffee can turn out to be like taking a mean shot.
Yeah, that's true.
But I ran some water through just sort of clean the pipes.
Right, did it come out clear?
Well, it's kind of tan. But it's been sitting there for 6 weeks now.
It looks sort of like a river when the leaves have been falling in it.
Yeah, it looks like a Golden Gate Canal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe send HW, the intern, out to get everybody coffees.
Okay.
I'll throw him a fin, tell him to come back with some coffees for
but
everybody.
But not for Haney. He likes those vitamin shots.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's fine. He's got a pocket full of vitamin shots. It's 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
What's wrong with that?
Right.
What's wrong with what's
it's half happened? Vitamin B12,
right.
Half vodka.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these kids that get on this Red Bull and vodka kick, that's a lot of sugar and a lot of liquid when you can condense it all down in here and get some B12.
Right. That's great. Good B12. Good, healthy B12.
I think it's also got B3 and B6.
Oh,
it's got
say.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thiamine, niacin.
Right.
Yeah, my eyes are too bad.
Focusin, I think it's got that.
Yeah, Focusin.
Napanol.
Yeah, I like that point in time when the pharmaceutical industry decided to shed all dignity and start making medicines that sound like what they do.
Right.
Like, you know, Erectol.
Yeah.
You know, I got a buddy in town who actually we talked to years ago when he was in the Marines in Iraq. Now he's still over there, but as a contractor. So he's been there since the thing started, and he doesn't watch TV over there. I guess it's somewhat available, but the TV was on while we were on vacation. Late night shows are on, and they're constantly running the male enhancement ads, and his jaw just dropped to the floor. He goes, Is this regular TV they're running this stuff on?
Try Erectol.
Yeah. Extensi.
Yeah.
Extensi.
Yeah.
That's sick.
lead in your pensanol.
Hot pensanol.
Stiffitol. Yeah.
These are medications not to be played with. All right, this is
the best though.
Turgidin.
Yeah. The best though is when they get like vitamin pills and package them up to look like medicine. Like they, you should need a prescription right. for this, but no. You
What's
don't.
That fat pill that I see periodically on the weekends? I was seeing it on the horse racing channel a lot. It was this woman that was all dead serious and said, if you need to lose 10 or 15 pounds, this is not for you.
Oh.
This is for only if you need to lose 80
pounds. Are they still running those?
I think it's Pacitol.
If you just need to lose a little weight, this is not for you. This is heavy-duty stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's the same one that goes, how much would you pay for
a... Yes!
When is a diet pill worth $2,000?
Yes! And I looked into this.
Yeah.
You did not.
No, listen
to what... He did some research.
Listen to what I'm saying. That commercial made me so mad listening to it because...
Because you know there's a whole other series of commercials where after that was out for a couple of months, then they come on and go, you don't have to pay $2,000. For a diet pill. Now we have a generic version.
Right. Same company. But
yeah.
Here's the thing. That thing made me so mad, saying, this has got to be some kind of deceptive advertising that, you know.
You're onto them.
Not because I wanted to go and try it out. I wanted to find out of pure curiosity, where's the catch? What's the deal? How do they hook you into
liposine or something like that?
Something like that.
Caution may cause kidney failure.
Here's what the deal is, and then if you go on the internet, they've got a bunch of those review boards that are up there that
message
tell
boards.
Message boards. You go and buy like a 2 month supply of this stuff. What's it called?
Pacitol.
You go and buy like a 2 month supply of this Pacitol for 180 bucks. Whatever the hell it is. But you agreeing to buy the Pacitol, because if you need to lose 5 or 10 pounds.
It's not for you.
This is very serious medicine here.
You buy this stuff, and it automatically puts you on this auto-renewal.
Which is the worst thing.
Well, you can never get off
of it.
And that's exactly
it. It's impossible. So many companies... So easy to sign up on the internet, but you want to get out of it, you got to call an 800 number that nobody ever answers.
Precisely.
Sit on hold for 4 hours.
Go to the message board with this thing. If you need to lose 5 or 10 pounds, this is not for you. Pages and pages of trying. It did nothing. Trying to get off the stuff. Trying to cancel my auto renewal on this. Can't be done. It hangs up on you.
Once you give up that credit card number, you are screwed until it expires. There are some of these things. That was the only way out. Is mercifully the credit card finally expired.
Yeah. And then you just see, and it got me so mad that I looked into it because
some of them,
you see this serious broad up there right. like a doctor.
And some of them, and I don't want to point fingers or name names on these websites, but some of them will actually continue to put the card through with the old expiration date.
Right.
Or I don't know if they guess at expiration dates, but some of them... Even after the expiration date on the card is passed, they'll continue somehow to be able to charge you.
Well, here's what gets me wondering about that. Now, think about this, and maybe somebody knows the answer to it. You have a credit card that you are stuck with an auto renewal on something. That credit card goes past its expiration date, and yet they are still charging it. I'm wondering if you go and, because you had an open account on an expired credit card, that's going to go and hit your credit because they're continuing to charge to an account that was open to you
no.
and you're not paying on
no,
it.
No, but it clears. I'm talking about a credit card that you have. You know, every couple of years they send you a new
right.
one. It's the same numbers, just the expiration date
right.
changes.
Well,
that's not a closed account. It's still open and they're getting their money, so...
Beware.
Yeah, when you sign up for anything,
Pacitol.
I don't care what it is. You sign up for anything, assume that it's going to be very difficult. As easy as it is to sign up, mm-hmm. it'll be that hard. to get off of
double.
That list.
It is so hard to, I will say this, not name any names. I had tried out satellite radio.
Right.
Try getting off the membership of satellite radio. You want to talk? It took me 6 months to get rid of that piece of junk.
See, I tried that too, but I only signed up for 1 3-month block. So it was non-auto renewal. Oh, so I just let it run out and done.
Now, there are some things that make a lot of sense for auto renewal. Like the company that I do business with for my car insurance, I'm very happy with.
Yeah.
But if you allow them to do that, you see a very real savings.
Well, the company that I do have my insurance with will auto-renew my policy, but they will still send me individual bills that I got to pay. Say my policy ends and I make the last payment my policy. They'll send me a new policy that I agree to and the new payment.
I think that's the only bill that I will allow them just to take the money because they make it worth my while. I mean, it's to
by
the tune.
By giving me a discount.
It's to the tune of about $10 a month if I let them do that.
Well, on the show today, I want both Tom and Haney to get their buzzers ready as we do another edition.
We
got to
get the band together?
Yeah. Buzzers.
No, not buzzards.
Not buzzards.
Oh,
buzzers.
Okay. All right.
Get them ready because we're going to do another edition of Hit Makers where Tom and Haney, who I believe is undefeated in this,
oh, yeah.
will represent a K-Rock listener, and we will go to the official Billboard Hot 100.
Am I undefeated?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
You are undefeated.
So I'm like one of those guys on Jeopardy where at first when they start running it up for a couple of days, Alex is happy because that generally gives him a ratings bump when you got a popular champion.
Right.
But then after a while, he starts to openly root for the new people. Because the show's about Alex and not about any one individual champion.
Oh, yeah. When that Ken Jennings was on for weeks on end, you could tell he was not.
Alex.
He had enough of it.
It's about 4 or 5 days. Alex gets sick of them because they start to get cocky.
Yep.
And the show's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me. I know all the answers.
So we'll have a listener represented by Haney, a listener represented by Tom.
Hi.
We will give out a year. I will pick a particular song. They will guess the artist.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We were looking for Al Franken, not Al Franklin.
Also,
Franken.
Today, Tom, I got to hand it to our resident expert, Tommy. He went and did extensive research into a topic we ended the show with yesterday. We'll bring it up again. And acetol? He went and looked at acetol.
Yep.
And putting acetone in your car. We found.
You know what we could do?
What?
We could get like jugs of acetone and put labels on it that say acetol, registered trademark, take it down to the flea market and make a mint.
Right, sure.
S&H brand acetol.
Right.
Yeah. And don't say what it is. It's 100% acetone.
Paint remover and hand cleaner.
Yeah, Stan and Haney.
Hand cleaner.
Yeah. It's a miracle product. It's a proprietary formula. Can see you standing out there at Ortiz speaking pidgin Spanish. Saying, what if I told you I could double your gas mileage?
Do we have to keep that stuff in glass or can I put it in plastic jugs?
Probably shouldn't have it out in the sun either.
Yeah, well,
especially
it'd evaporate
in quantity.
Yeah.
Right.
Metal cans.
We're going to take a break.
How much heat could a metal can take before it burst into flames?
With this stuff, it's got a very low flash point, probably 110 degrees, and it's done.
Oh, geez.
Ooh. Well, you definitely hit that at the flea market.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially
that's why you get one of those little pop-up tents, keeping the shade.
I'm only judging on, you know, how bad the chicken smell is. I'm assuming that gets worse with the heat.
Yeah. Acetol.
Overpowering.
Ask for it by name.
Yeah. I'm dead. There's our moneymaker right there.
Right.
All we need is to draft an ironclad disclaimer like what Beasley has, where we're responsible for nothing.
Yep. 96 K-Rock.
It's great to be back in the afternoon where the sun is warm, but the women are still cold as ice. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney, in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. Still to come, an edition of Hitmakers. That's where we go to the Billboard list of 100 of the top songs of every year. And we'll get a listener to be paired with Tommy, a listener to be paired with Haney, and somebody will turn out to be a winner thanks to the quick knowledge of both of these guys. Let me tell you something. They know music better than anybody.
Tom usually knows them. He just can't buzz in.
I'm just slow on the buzzer because I actually think it through.
Yeah,
see, I think Haney buzzes because he knows he's going to know. So as soon as you're done talking, man, he's buzzing.
It's the way you got to do
it. And then
it
just takes him a split second to a split second to retrieve that from the file.
See, that's a spit.
Why don't you try that today? Just go with your instinct. Because I would hate to see another one of our listeners go down to defeat because of you.
Why would you hate to see them?
Well,
one of our listeners wins.
Yeah, with you, I'd like to see him win one once.
You want me to tank it?
No, absolutely not.
Wouldn't be the first time I've tanked one of your game shows.
I'm just saying maybe he should go with a new strategy because he does know it.
Most of them. He definitely does know more than me.
I'll even give it a try right now.
We got to find out.
Get your buzzer.
I got mine ready.
I'll just try it, and you'd be representing listeners when we do this, but I'm going to see how sharp you guys.
How's this for a buzzer?
It's too long.
It
needs to be a quick
hit.
Something
quick.
I think I want a new one.
Do you?
You got yours, right, Tommy? There it is.
It's either that or this.
I like the rooster.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
Let me see.
Okay.
Is that quick enough?
Yeah. Okay. That works.
For example, let's go to 1977. Gonna listen, buzz in, do not shout out the answer.
Hands on buzzers.
This was the number two song for the year 1977. I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Andy Gibb.
Correct.
Right there.
Now playing the game, we'd have the caller that Haney was representing
would get a point. My guy'd have a big goose egg.
Same year, number 17 in 1977, Southern Nights.
Glenn Campbell.
That's how the game's played. First 1 to 10. First 1 to 10 gets the victory for their caller.
Now, throw out another one. I will not buzz in. Let's see if Tommy gets it.
Okay. No, yeah. I don't want that.
Shut the buzzers off. Tommy.
This is to take the heat off him and see how he performs.
This is just for you.
Take the heat right off.
Yeah, the heat's right. 1975. This was number 79 for the year.
Oh, God.
Keep in mind, they did top 40 every week, and you got to have 100 is nothing for the year. 100 songs. What did I say, number 79?
Yeah.
Midnight Blue.
I have no idea.
Haney?
Melissa Manchester.
That is correct. Tom, I'll try it again. Let me. Here's something, and it should just really jog the memory. 1976. It was number 38 for the year. This is just for Tom.
You know what? Maybe we should do that today, where we give Tom first dibs.
No, I don't want that. Because then I end up looking like a bigger loser when I do lose. Because I will lose.
Number 38. Welcome Back.
John Sebastian.
Yeah, see? It isn't that hard.
There you go.
Hi, Tommy.
Watch this. I'll just throw it
in. You just brought up that Larry King drop. Uh-huh. You know the deal with his wife, right?
With Sean Southwick King?
Rehab.
Yeah, the 48-year-old. Yeah, she's in rehab. She was chewing 20 Vicodins a day
because
she had these migraine headaches. And Larry does this whole interview where evidently he doesn't understand what painkillers are and says that she's gone off to have her headaches fixed.
Haney, 1978 time passages.
Al Stewart.
There you go. That's how it's played.
We'll do that.
Time passages.
I think Lady Boy Johnson did backup vocals on that.
I'm willing to bet. It was huge back then.
Was he a confirmed bachelor?
Who, Al Stewart?
Yeah.
Was he?
Confirmed.
Well, that's what they were known as right. In those days.
Confirmed bachelors. All right, let's do the grab bag.
Scouring the globe to bring you what you need to hear. According to him. Buckle your seatbelts. It's time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
Last night, Brett Favre sat down with Greta Van Susteren and admitted to her that he may have retired too early.
I am guilty of retiring early, and there is a reason for that. And, you know, there's been some the major issues is why did he retire? And he asked for a release because he doesn't want to play in Green Bay. That's not true. And, I hope that the people are hearing this and go, okay, that clears it up. You know, and there's going to be some people that say, so what? And once again, them moving on does not bother me. It doesn't. I totally understand that. That was by me retiring March 3rd, I knew that that could possibly happen. All I was saying is, you know, thinking about playing again. The itch has been used. That's been the word that has been used, if you want to say itch or, you know, the fire is coming back or whatever. If I'm going to play, it's going to be 100% commitment, and it's not going to be in March. And so if you've moved on, you tell me one thing. Don't come back and tell the public. Just say it.
What?
You know.
I hope that cleared it up.
We've moved on, and we'll work with Brett on whatever it is.
What?
Don't make up a lot of stuff.
Clear it
or
up,
give
Brett.
Half of the truth. Say we want to what? Let you be our backup, and all this. He's got to understand this. And all. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It really is.
What is he
thank
talking
you for,
about?
Thank you for clearing it up.
I mean, it's like...
So, I don't pay attention to rumors. I don't pay attention to movie magazines.
What?
I don't read them because they're all junk.
Yeah, I mean, same thing.
You heard about the whole John McLaughlin and the McLaughlin group, the Oreo cookie thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's an old man.
John.
And when the McLaughlin group started, you know, what, back in 1950,
yeah.
It was perfectly acceptable.
John McLaughlin got some people upset when he.
And it's been about 25 years since he had the capability of upsetting anyone.
All right. Well, here's the clip from his show, and you'll see why.
I didn't know it was still on the air.
Neither did I. See why some people are upset. Hey, listen.
What? Does it frost Jackson, Jesse Jackson, that someone like Obama, who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled as an Oreo, a black on the outside, a white on the inside, that an Oreo should be the beneficiary of the long civil rights struggle which Jesse Jackson spends his lifetime fighting for?
What?
Question. Does it frost Jackson, Jesse Jackson, that someone like Obama, who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled as an Oreo, a black on the outside, a white on the inside, that an Oreo should be the beneficiary of the long civil rights struggle which Jesse Jackson spends his lifetime fighting for?
You know, at some point in that old man's life, he's used that term.
Oh, and a lot worse.
Last weekend at a cocktail party, he used it.
What was the, I don't think they make them anymore. What was the Oreo knockoff? Was it
Hydrox.
Hydrox.
They don't make them anymore, do they?
I think they do.
That was like the poor man's Oreo.
Right. Sure, they tasted the same.
Right.
You're nothing but a Hydrox.
If he'd said that, then probably nobody would know what he meant.
Right. And I object to that in this day and age in the 21st century.
Yes, a
black hole.
You could be a pink hole.
God.
Okay, follow me on this.
I can't find anything about Al Stewart ever being married.
Thank you.
Follow me on this. A-Rod was alleged to be having an affair with Madonna.
Yeah.
But he Madonna says that he wasn't. However, A-Rod's adopted the Kabbalah.
Well,
stuff.
Yeah, Madonna's brother, who is a confirmed bachelor,
right,
said that that was the reason that he was into the Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
You know, the whole red string thing.
Right.
Right. Now, A-Rod, who's going to be playing in the All-Star game tonight, is getting a divorce from his wife. His wife doesn't know one way or the other if he had an affair with Madonna, but she just can't take the long line of affairs that he's had over the years and just doesn't want to take it anymore. His wife, by the way, quite good looking.
And an older woman.
And an older woman. A stripper has come forward saying that she had an affair with A-Rod and apologizes
surprise,
for the woman.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, here you go.
As Jim Neighbors would say.
Her name is Candace Houlihan.
Candy?
Yeah.
You sure Houlihan's her real last name?
Maybe that's a stage name.
Yeah, real name Kleiner.
Right.
here she is apologizing.
It is a sucky feeling to be on
the
receiving end of all this crap. So, you know. And I apologize. You know, sorry.
Isn't I'll that part of your voice?
Spots.
Yeah, that horse.
Oh.
Yeah, she had a little thing.
It's like somehow her throat's become irritated as
right.
if some object had rubbed up against
yeah.
it.
Well, that and, you know, right. an eight ball and a fifth of scotch.
Now, A-Rod will not comment on the things that are being said in the paper about him. He won't.
I've learned to kind of put whatever issues are in the front page in one small box over here. For 4 hours between those white lines,
what?
I get an opportunity to go out and speak with my actions.
Boxes and white lines is not what he should be talking about.
No.
You know what he should do is do the Sosa deal and pretend not to speak English.
It is a sucky feeling to be on the receiving end of all
you
this
know
crap.
About sucky
so,
feelings.
You know.
Come here, baby.
Can I apologize? You know, sorry. I'll hope it doesn't change
here,
his
baby.
Spots.
Daddy's feeling a little tense.
Yeah. The home run derby was last night at Yankee Stadium.
By the way, the All-Star game tonight,
yeah.
at least as far as the American League, dominated with Fort Myers connections.
Oh, sure.
Maurer's starting, who
yes.
played for the Miracle, and you got a bunch of Red Sox there.
Yes.
I think, what, three Red Sox and Maurer repping
yeah.
The Twins?
Yep. And speaking of another guy, and if I'm not mistaken, Morneau, who was the MVP 2 years ago, who wound up winning the Home Run Derby last night, played for a little while with the Miracle.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But the big story last night in the Home Run Derby was...
What, Streaker?
No, Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers. Josh Hamilton was out of baseball for 3 years. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel did a story on him when he was at his utmost worst.
What's wrong with him?
Alcoholic, heroin addict, cocaine addict, got kicked out of the league 3 years ago, refused to clean his act up every chance that they said, try to go to rehab, clean your act up.
And
before
he said, no,
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 no. He came back this year and is just on fire.
What'd they do, stop testing him?
Yeah, I don't know. And he's found God, but he's clean. He went in one session of the Home Run Derby, set the record, Yankee Stadium, 28 home runs. While everybody else was hitting 5, 6, 7 for that round,
mm-hmm.
he came out and parked 28. Here's number 28. That means play.
Well, to the deepest part of the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious. 28 homers.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said, no, no, no.
He He's ashamed of all of his tattoos. He's all covered with tattoos like Slash.
How about you? Are you ashamed of your tattoos?
A little bit.
I am. Oh, I saw a new product while you guys were on vacation.
Yeah.
Like Doc Wilson's at-home tattoo removal paste.
Let's find out about that.
That's acetone, isn't it?
I think so.
Here's Josh Hamilton after hitting those home runs.
You know, it's amazing over the past few years what God's done in my life and how quickly he's done it. So I just feel blessed to have Clay here throwing some batting practice to me and people watching.
Here's what happened was he hit those 28 home runs, got exhausted. Then Minnesota Twins slugger, former MVP Justin Morneau, I think in the final round, parked five of them, and he wound up winning the whole thing just by hitting five.
Well, I was lucky that we got reset after the first two rounds. You know, this was his show. He did a great job. I mean, he deserved to win it, but, you know, I got lucky that he got a little tired, but he did a great job, and it was amazing. That was one of the best performances I've ever seen, and, you know, I'm just lucky to be out here right now, and this has been a lot of fun for me.
Haney did the story yesterday. 17-year-old Rudy Sandoval, who was
more than willing to hand over the cash, but then somebody bitch slaps you.
Yep.
Something happens.
17-year-old, he was a clerk at the pizza place in Denton, Texas.
Where is that?
Just south of Dallas.
Thank you.
And Haney was right. He did the story yesterday. The robber comes in, fake gun, demands the cash. And then as the kid's complying, the robber bitch slaps him.
For no reason.
And that's when 17-year-old Denton loses it.
No.
Denton is the town. Yeah, Sandoval loses it. Beat the crap out. Here's
Mr. Denton.
Here's Denton. Here's
you know, the guy from Desperate Housewives was in the parade in Fort Myers.
The guy that got beat up was 41-year-old Benjamin Ramirez.
Old enough to know better.
Yep. Here's pizza clerk Rudy Sandoval.
How'd that go down?
Well, it was just like, it wasn't really about the money anymore. It was just that big family. It wasn't that anymore. It was just me and him.
Right. Did they ever tell you, don't fight, give it away, don't fight?
Shut up,
yeah, they did, but, you know, after he slapped me, that was just personal stuff.
Tell me how he took it.
Well, after I know how you take it. We bent that table, and so, I mean, he just started snoring and shaking. He just, like, kind of wobbled down to the floor. There was just blood everywhere, you know.
This was Friday night, right? And then what happened when the cops came?
When the cops came, it was like, they had already got him because he had to try to run down the street. But the cops were just, like, surprised that I did something about it.
You've characterized it as wailing on him. That's a pretty good characterization.
Did the cops
offer any advice to you? Did they suggest whether this was a good or a bad thing that you'd done?
Well, like, my boss, my mother, and then the police also, they all told me, you know, what you did, you know, next time don't do it because, you know, something could have happened to me. Could have had a gun or a real gun or something.
Yeah, if he'd had a real gun, this would be a different story, I'm sad to say, Rudy. But I'm glad he didn't, and I'm glad you took him down, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
Rudy Sandoval, 17 years old, from the pizza place in Benton. Good of you.
No,
thanks.
Denton.
You're Benton.
Over 5 days a week, he spends sleepless hours suffering migraine headaches, lower back pain, and hot flashes to bring you what you need to hear.
Come on.
Join us again next time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
Leo.
You never got along with that Shepard Smith when he was in town. Where did he work?
He worked at Channel 2.
Mm-hmm. What did he do there?
Nothing. He really didn't.
Sat pantless behind a desk?
he was an anchor man.
Yeah.
He's just annoying, man.
Yeah,
I can see why they fired him.
I think he quit.
I thought he moved on to bigger and better things.
To get what they call a network job. We'll be back. 96 K-Rap.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur.
Fact.
Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass.
Broke mine.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along, and I mean that. It's Tuesday. We're about a half hour away getting Tom and Haney ready for another edition of Hitmakers. Right now, I want to reintroduce something that we talked about at the end of yesterday's show, and our own producer, Tommy Traficani, who really...
He's like our resident MacGyver.
He truly is. Now, I want to play the clip again, if you can get the clip, but tell me what you found, Haney, this guy on the internet that had a great way to, what, double your gas mileage?
Yeah, he decided to do an experiment. His car was getting 17 miles to the gallon, and his goal was to double his gas mileage. First thing he did was go through his trunk. He had a bunch of crap there he didn't need. Took that out.
Taking the weight out.
Took the spare out. Took the jack out. Took everything out. And he says, you know, I've got roadside assistance and I got a can of Fix-A-Flat. So solves that problem.
Right.
Then he used the synthetic motor oil when he got his oil changed. Right. Changed out the air filter, spark plug wires, all of that. All of that took him up to about 24 miles a gallon. Then he got a hold of a bottle of 100% acetone, added 2 ounces of acetone per 10 gallons of gas, and put his gas mileage up to 34 miles per gallon. And he had the actual gauges and everything that he added onto his car plugged into the computer to confirm that it was there.
Well,
also, he was not running the air conditioning. And if he was going to be stopped for more than 30 seconds, he shut the engine off.
Right. Now, the shutting the engine off and all of that stuff, taking the spare out, just a can of Fix-A-Flat and all that. But it was the acetone
that took it from 24 miles a gallon to 34.
To 34. Mm-hmm. Now, you went in and did some investigating with this. First of all, tell everybody, because I didn't know, what the hell is acetone?
Well, it's the active ingredient in nail polish remover. And it's just a chemical. It's used in paint stripping. It's used in all kinds of stuff. I used to use it to clean some machine parts when I worked at a place down in Naples.
Highly volatile,
very low flash point.
And again, we are not advocating that you do this.
No.
We don't know. But the guy was very specific and emphasized over and over again that he was using 100% acetone.
Because you can get stuff at, like, Sally's Beauty.
Right.
Which some of it will be 100% acetone, but some of it will just be nail polish remover with other oils and other stuff in it. You don't want to do that at all.
Have you found out? Because, and right now, 277 or 775-9600, love to have a mechanic or somebody that works on cars and understands this stuff.
We talked
putting that stuff in.
We talked a bit about it yesterday, and a mechanic called in and said that that it does seem like it would work at least short term, but he was concerned about the long term impact on some of the rubber and plastic parts in your.
What'd you find out?
Well, I went through about 100 message boards yesterday, and
a lot of people
have tried. There's a lot of info. MythBusters even covered it.
Oh, really?
And they had negligible results with the acetone, and that seems to be the consensus with everyone who has tried it. Some had some moderately positive results, 4 or 5 miles per gallon. Some actually said they lost mileage. A couple of people that have been using it long-term, 6 months or so, says they've gained about 5 miles per gallon, but they're noticing their rubber fuel lines are starting to swell up. So,
which was one of the things a mechanic brought up yesterday.
Yeah, right. So it seems, and a couple guys said that they're having problems with some of their valve seals and stuff, like some of the rubber parts inside the engine are starting to deteriorate. And if they go, forget it, you're done. You're going to need
to ruining your car.
Right.
Well, like I said.
But people said they've put it in, and instantly their car runs better, smooth, idles smoother, and some of them have gotten some little bit better gas mileage. But the people that have been doing it long enough are seeing these other problems.
So let's take a hypothetical here. You know what a hypothetical question is, don't you?
A make-believe?
Yeah, ask your mom to go make love to the
mailman for 50 grand. Yeah.
Thank you. Bernie.
Hypothetical question, you being our resident expert, Tom.
Okay.
People, and I'm just going on what your research has shown, people say, yes, it does seem to work, at least in the short term. So suppose that, say, for whatever reason, you got to drive from here to Jacksonville, and you go to fill up, and you put some acetone in there, you should see a result, maybe if you just use it for long-distance trips without screwing up your engine.
Somebody actually said that their mileage actually got worse.
Yeah, one guy who's driving a truck, so I don't know if that makes a difference in the type of vehicle. Because he had a big 5-liter truck.
Well, is it running on diesel?
No. It was like a Ford 250, 5-liter, something or other, but it was running on gas. But he did it, and his mileage went down. One girl who commutes daily, like 80 miles, did it, and it went up like 2 miles per gallon. So there's been results all over.
Well, and you also don't know what concentration they were using.
Well, everyone who did
the 2 ounces?
Yeah, a lot of people who did
2 ounces per 10 gallons.
Right, they were replying, and they would put how much they did, and they're all going with basically the 1 ounce per 5 gallon
Ahoy.
Rule.
Yeah, this is Scott. I've been checking this stuff out, and I don't know as much about the acetone, but I know that we're also starting to look at those hydrogen fuel cell. Have you guys heard anything about that? You hook up like a little tank of water with baking soda in it.
It's interesting that you bring that up. Tommy has actually seen it in action.
I've seen that in action. A guy ran his go-kart on water.
Yeah, well, they're doing that with cars, too. A couple of mechanics in town, they had it on the news last night, and I've been looking at it on the internet. It really it seems legit.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
Wonder how hard it is to do.
That's exactly right.
My uncle is a mechanic. I'm not even that mechanically inclined, and I looked at it, and it looked like a 10-year-old kid could hook it up.
See, now this
it's a container with a little jar.
And what do you hook it up to?
With a coil that you hook up to a battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have that little baking soda in that water just to keep so a current can go through it. And you hook it up to your a 12-volt battery, just like your car already has, and that automatically, with the vacuum, will put a hydrogen gas off, and then it just hooks right into the vacuum line.
Yeah, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, but it's easier to put some acetone.
Yeah,
in
I mean
there.
That's a whole different ball of wax. This guy's talking about.
It's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah,
this is just adding 2 ounces of acetone to 10 gallons
of
gas.
Exactly.
Oh, I agree completely. If that was easy, you know, definitely easier to do for the short term. But if they're saying you could build one of these hydrogen cells for under $100 and get 40% better gas mileage, and it not only not be bad for your car, but be good for your engine and help it run cooler.
Well, there's definitely something to that because, again, Tom has seen it with his own eyes.
I've seen it in action.
Go-kart running on water.
Yep.
Well, describe it.
Just like the kid said, he had a plastic tank with a coil in it hooked up to a battery, and then there's a catch tank off to the side. This thing would separate the hydrogen from the water molecules, and then the vacuum of the engine would suck the hydrogen from the holding tank into the carburetor, and he was doubling his mileage. And it ran great.
You still had to have gas in there.
Yeah, you had to have gas to get it running and stuff. It wasn't 100% hydrogen. You can't run an internal combustion engine on 100% hydrogen. But this mixing with the gas displaced about half his fuel consumption.
Yeah, okay.
It looked pretty easy to do.
You know what? You know what's amazing, though, is not really amazing, but it's all when nobody would want to talk about this a couple of years ago. It's when the gas prices get to the point that they're really hurting you that people start to talk.
Yep.
And I don't know if you've seen this, and I have not looked at the website, but have you seen the commercial that T. Boone Pickens has done?
No.
He's a big wind proponent now.
Yeah. He is a lifelong Texas oil man, one of the richest people on the planet, and he's a big-hatted Texan. And he's taken his tapped out oil fields and he's got these European companies that have come in and turned them into massive wind farms with the turbines.
Right.
And he's now buying ads nationwide urging people to go to his website for his energy plan for America. Now, he's not running for anything. I'm assuming he's just trying to get people to buy windmills.
Well, sure. Another thing for him to make a buck on.
But I'll say it again. All we have to do is commit to liquefying coal. Problem solved overnight.
Ahoy.
Yes, I was calling. You're talking about the hydrogen fuel cell?
Yeah.
I'm not a professional chemist, but I took a great deal of it in college.
Yeah.
And the ones that you're talking about on the radio, they may run a go-kart, but they're nothing that's going to run a car.
Tommy, what do you say about that?
I say BS.
No. The ones you're talking about, and the other guy we're talking about,
you just need more volume.
You can build it at home for $100, aren't going to run a car up and down the highway all day.
Didn't you hear him? The answer is simple. Volume.
Volume. Yeah. You just need more. Yeah. You can't use one. I mean, the go-kart is running off a little one-gallon container of water with a thing in it. You need to, obviously, exponentially make that bigger.
That guy sounds like a confirmed bachelor. ahoy.
Ahoy. Stan, wasn't that a Deep Purple song, Go-Kart Running on Water?
What are you
doing? How does the tune go? Can you sing a little? No, I didn't think so.
You big baby.
Hit and run.
Baby, you want a bottle?
Dirt bottle? here's the thing, and what attracted me to what the guy said initially and why we sent you on the thing to find out more about it.
Because it sounds so simple.
It's simple. It's if you tell a family, husband and wife, 9-to-5ers, they got the sedan in the driveway, that you're going to have to hook up this with water and steam, run on water. Come on. You tell somebody
you can put two ounces of
acetone in your
car. 10 miles per gallon.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lot different than making modifications to your automobile versus just a couple of drops of stuff.
It's like the whole...
I think the larger picture, though, is that it would seem that if manufacturers or even, if mechanics got interested and that actually works... that the modifications would be worth, whatever they were charging to do
then
it professionally.
That would have to come from General Motors, Ford, to go and have that installed.
Or aftermarket people.
Or aftermarket people that will go and for a fee attach that on.
Right.
It's to me, in my way of thinking of it, and I am not mechanically inclined at all, you tell me a couple ounces of this in your car, and lo and behold, it's the magic mystery fluid, and I'm getting 10 more miles a gallon.
You can't talk about the magical mystery fluid on the air.
But you know what I'm saying.
That's like taking a special diet pill that makes the pounds melt away.
When it comes to the magical mystery fluid, the men don't know, but the little girls understand.
Ahoy.
Hey, I saw a gentleman at the Circle K at Strike Lane one day. In Bonita Springs, and he had a Nissan Xterra that this car runs on water. And he actually builds and installs those hydrogen fuel cells locally. He sells them for, I think he said $300, and he'll charge $100 if you want him to install them.
Yeah, and he said
15 to 20%, but you can put multiple units in a car and get more.
Get better mileage, That's what I was telling that guy before.
He said put them in motorhomes. They put 5 units in a motorhome and double their gas mileage.
My former brother-in-law, who was working on this project before he passed away recently, had been talking to some of the local truckers because he was big into the heavy equipment. He was a land clearer and stuff.
Yeah.
And he knew a lot of the...
This guy was a genius.
Yeah. Real smart guy, old school guy, very mechanical. And he had one of these working. Like I said, he ran the go-kart on it. He had one of his older vans running on it. And he was in the process of getting one of his... other bigger trucks to work on it. And same thing, he'd been talking to all these truckers and they were all ready to buy into it and let him install this
stuff. Let me tell you, if you can have a guy like this guy was saying that for $300 have it put in and an extra $100 installed into your car and it's going to improve your gas mileage by 30%, then everybody should be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that gets to the crux of the issue is that there is no national leadership on this whatsoever. We're basically being told everything's fine. The problems are all in your head. Did you hear Phil Graham?
Yes.
We're a country of whiners.
Yep. But
I thought that was great because they played his comment on the news, and immediately after that, they cut to Obama, and he goes, "It's not in your head."
But you know what? We keep talking about what we can do here in the United States, whether it's
well, we need some of that damn space program era can-do American stuff.
I was watching Brian Williams last night or the night before, and I was mad because we're sitting here bitching and griping. Do we do more offshore drilling? If we did. Do you know that 10% of the oil that we get right now in the United States of America is shipped to China and shipped around. It's the world oil market. So it doesn't matter what ground you find it on, we all share.
Well, as
we can find a whole bunch of new oil sources here, but we're not going to get to keep it. And it's not going to bring our gas prices down because the world wants it and we're on the world oil market.
Well, and I want to find out more about what he's talking about because he's definitely the prototypical oil man, T. Boone Pickens. One of the things, and, you know, he's bought these ads. They're only 30 seconds. There's only so much he can say. But he points out some numbers that really make you think. And what he's talking about right now, as much as we are importing foreign oil, he said what's happening right now and what's continuing to happen is the largest voluntary transfer of wealth in history. All of our money is going to the Saudis or to Venezuela, and we're doing it voluntarily.
But what I saw, we're exporting oil now, too, to other countries. Our oil that we get here in the United States of America is also a percentage of that is going on freighters and going to other countries for their oil demands. We're not keeping all the oil we find in the United States. And if we begin drilling off the coast of Florida and up and down the eastern seaboard, we're not going to get to keep all of that oil. That's all part of the world oil market, and it goes overseas. And they said, so drill all you want. It's not going to lower our gas prices. It's just going to feed the world demand.
I don't know if you're interested when we come back from break. I pulled up his website, and he's got like an introductory video. But I know he's very into that. He's just sold on wind power. And
wow, that's another one. Wind and the water power and all that
and
stuff.
And solar.
A bunch of junk.
I'm telling you, man. Let's use the damn coal we got.
We're going to take a break.
Seriously can't argue that with
you
me.
You can't.
No.
But here's the thing. We have more coal than anybody in the world.
Like Haney described, we are the Saudi Arabia of coal.
We actually have more coal than the Saudis do oil.
But that requires building or updating refineries that can go and do that.
But it wouldn't take that much.
So you're 20, 30 years down the line.
I don't think it's going to be 20 years.
Oh,
yeah,
I think so.
Compared to other methods, that's our quickest path.
Well, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? And I'm not just talking about the current administration. I'm not just talking about Congress. I'm not talking about big oil companies.
You talking about Ray Judah?
Nobody is talking about it. Nobody is saying, speaking as loud as they possibly can about doing it.
Right.
And you're right.
And once you commit to doing something, say we commit to doing liquefied coal or whatever, that's going to make the world market look at us differently. And then the prices will start coming down quickly just because we're jumping in head first into something.
What's happened with us is it's kind of like the old story of the frog and the boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
We're in so deep right now, but we got there just little by little to the point. Think about this. Take yourself back 20 years and tell yourself 20 years ago what's going on in the world. Your head would have exploded.
Yeah, you'd laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got to take a break.
We are joined by attorney Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law, and he will be glad. He would just absolutely tickled pink to go and take your questions. And I said it before, Mike, when before you came in. So often people, they don't know where to turn. They don't know, should I go see a lawyer about this? Right. Should I go? And
I think if you're asking the question, you already know the answer.
Yeah, and coughing up a lot of money. You know, where do I go? And this is a service that you're offering to our listeners that basically, hey, I'll point you in the right direction.
Right. And I do something that a lot of lawyers don't do. I give a free consultation. I usually do it by telephone, determine if they have a case, if I can help them. That way they're not paying unless I can help them.
So you will hear somebody out for free.
That's right.
They can tell you what's wrong, and then you can let them know how you can fix it.
This is what I can do, and if they don't have the money or they don't want to go down that road, I think if I don't help them, they shouldn't pay me anything.
Right.
So, a lot of them do $200 consultation fees, but you're not doing anything for the client. If you don't help somebody, they shouldn't have to pay you.
Well, that makes a little too much sense. I think you should probably put a stop to that.
Too soon? No.
I'm sure the government will probably come up with some way to stop him from doing that.
Well, they're going to tax me for the money I should have made.
Are they really? Yeah, probably.
Under the current regime, you never know.
277 or 775-9600 if you want to talk to Mike. You'll be talking to our producer. You tell him what you want to talk about, and then we'll put you right through to attorney Mike Chiannopoulos. I was also saying this. I don't want to mention other attorneys' names on the air, but years and years and years ago, I knew an attorney in town that used to take a look at our contracts and then throw his hands up and say, there's nothing I can do for you. But he has since semi-retired, and he has a few select clients. And I brought up your name, and he said, I don't know all the attorneys around town like I used to. He says, but I've heard about Mike Chiannopoulos, and he started talking about military judge, and he really knows his stuff, and was very complimentary that you are one of the good guys.
He's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. It's nice to have a good reputation. I was telling Stan before you came in, I said, all right, I'm going to get Haney fired up again on this mortgage foreclosure business. Yesterday, and I won't, like, you didn't mention a lawyer's name on the air. I won't mention a judge's name.
Good.
Yesterday, I'm in front of this judge, and the homeowner signed a note to Bank A. Said, okay, Bank A is giving me the money. I'm signing the promissory note. I'm going to pay Bank A. At some point, Bank B owns the note. And so Bank B sues for foreclosure. But Bank B can't show where it bought the note from Bank A. Bank B can't show where Bank A transferred the note to him. So, Judge.
And what does Bank A say?
Well, Bank A's not even there. Not even named in the lawsuit, not present, not anything. And I say, Judge, we got to get Bank A in here to say they're not owed the money because I don't want my homeowner to have to pay somebody twice. She said, nope, I'm going to grant judgment for the bank.
With summary judgment.
Judgment.
With no proof.
No proof, no hearing, no nothing.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can do is take her up on appeal, which 98% of the people can't do because, hello, judge, they're in foreclosure because they can't pay their bill. You think they can pay for an appeal?
And is that pretty much what's counted on to keep
keep the docket moving? And, you know, your rights aren't that important. I got to clear my docket.
It's amazing that something as serious as our justice system runs kind of like Michael Scott runs Dunder Mifflin Scranton Branch. We just need to get it done.
Just get it done. It is so. And correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not there. It's pretty clogged up right now.
Yeah, it is pretty clogged up. But what you have here in Lee County are a bunch of judges that have been there too long, and somebody needs to file against them and run against them, even if they don't win, just to wake that judicial core up and say, hey, you're here to serve us. We're not here to serve you. Remember that. And if somebody runs against them, even if they don't beat the incumbent, at least they've woke that person up.
You've opened my eyes to a lot of things that I didn't know were going on that are some serious things.
Because you see it every day.
What is it, those with weak stomachs should not watch sausage nor law being made?
yeah, right.
Pete is on line one. Ahoy, Pete. Say hi to Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hello, Mike.
Hi, Pete. What do you got today?
I've got a question about child support. I'll make it as brief as I can. I was divorced in another state back in 1989, and at that time the support was so high, and so many things was going on in my life, and it was a drama part of that. Anyway, I moved away from the state. Anyway, my two children, they're age 33 and 31 now. They was adopted approximately a year later. Well, I'm still getting letters at my parents' house in this other state, which I haven't forwarded my address, except, you know, I'm not really hiding. I'm working under my name and all that. Not like that, but...
Well, what's your question, though?
Okay, my question is, my child support now has went up to $48,000 is what I owe, and a whole lot of that is interest.
Yeah.
On your 33-year-old?
On my 33-year-old, which, you know, that's back support from way back.
Yeah, that was back support before they turned 18, and you hadn't paid it for another 15 years, and that was all the interest building up on it.
The mother can waive that. You can't waive future child support, but your kids are past that. The mother can waive that, and you probably get the penalties an interest waive, but you'd have to go back through that other state to do it.
Okay, and like I said, she absolutely wouldn't waive that, so... if I will actually have to go back through that state to do anything at all about that then.
That's correct.
All right. There you go, Pete.
Thanks.
All right.
You're
good luck, Pete.
My God, it truly never ends.
No, how many times have we said that? It
and they've
never
got $48,000 down there, and the guy probably owes $10,000.
Yeah, but all the interest, all the interest building up on it, and for not paying it for years and years. 277-775-9600. Those are the numbers. Talk to Mike Giannopoulos.
Can I ask just a naive question?
Sure.
If it's that clogged up, why would we not just make the investment and have more judges and more courtrooms, perhaps some of them specializing in certain areas so that things can move and move properly?
The state cut the judicial budget statewide 10% in 2008, 2009, and 2010. So they've taken a 30% budget cut over the last three years, and the cases have increased over 100 times. So, you know, you got 1,000 more cases and half the judges and people. And what they're talking about doing is actually shutting the courthouse down for a couple of days a month to try to make so that they can make payroll.
Yeah, and to make budget.
Yeah.
With everything you read about, whether it's here in Florida or other states that are cutting, what's being cut? Your police force, your fire department, your government jobs, and it hits the courts just like anything else.
Well, I mean, the story that you told to open up the segment, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
That the person has made satisfaction with their bank. Another bank comes out of nowhere and says, we own the house and you have to pay us too. We don't care.
Right. And if the judge would at least hear the evidence to determine whether or not that's true. And, you know, the funny thing is I was thinking to myself as I was walking out of the courtroom, you know, I wonder if she were on the other side of this bench, if she'd be willing to flush her constitutional rights down the toilet as quickly as she did my clients.
So as far as, and not that particular client, but in situations like that, how prohibitive is it when you find yourself up against the wall like that to actually go to appeal?
We're going to appeal this case, and I've told the client I'm going to do it for free. I'm not going to charge if he just pays the $300 filing fee.
Well, like I said, in that particular case is different, but for your average.
But we have to make a stand, and that's why I'm willing to do this guy's case for free. And I believe the appellate court's going to come back and spank her, and that's going to change this system.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out is the position that the judge put the client in, assuming they're not represented by you.
Right.
When the judge issues that summary judgment without listening to any evidence, what is the impact of that?
They lose their house.
And if they want to take it to appeal and they go out and hire a lawyer off the street, that's what, thousands of dollars?
Anywhere between five and ten.
And they know this when they're stamping this.
And if you had $10,000 to do an appeal, wouldn't you pay your mortgage?
Oh, sweet Jesus. And even the filing fee is $300.
But you know what? We're going to win this one, and they're going to stop doing that.
Frank on line two. Frank, say hi to attorney Mike Giannopoulos.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon.
Yes, I'm with his child custody.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I didn't even get to see the child because he's over two. I had to get a lawyer, and I got that joint custody.
Right.
Which is like, it's a joke. They won't let me see him. I only get to see him every other weekend and all that. Same child support.
Okay.
She doesn't work, so the great-grandmother files the taxes, which I heard you say that's illegal because I'm supposed to be able to file. They're supposed to change the last name. They haven't done that. I mean, they're not doing nothing.
Okay, so what's your question?
Yeah, what do you want Mike to answer for?
You mentioned about have custody once, I heard you say.
You want to have custody?
Yeah, but when I went to court, nobody ever mentioned that. You said, now you can get half custody these days?
Do you mean joint custody?
Yeah, is that what you're looking at? Joint custody.
I got joint custody now, because what they call it, but I only get them every other weekend.
Yeah, you have joint custody, which is the right to make equal decisions regarding his training, health, and welfare. What you want is you want physical custody.
Yeah, I mean, the girls are drunk, grandmother takes care of them.
Right. What you have to do is file a motion to change custody and then go in and tell the judge why it's in your son's best interest to come and live with you.
File a joint motion, and is that simple?
Yeah, it's...
Yeah,
it's that simple.
Easier said than done.
Speaking of simple,
yeah, and that's the other thing that people have to understand. And parents that are divorced, specifically dads, and there's joint, you hear joint custody. That's for the decision making and the welfare of the child. That doesn't necessarily mean physical, because they will tell you, the judge will tell you, you may have joint custody, but the child has to have one physical address where it's where a primary parent is there.
So there's joint custody, and then there's the primary physical custodian.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the mother, or at least up until recent times.
Yeah, exactly.
And what are you known as? Respondent?
Yeah, respondent. Here's Bill. He's got a bank issue on line one. Ahoy, Bill. Say hi to Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill. What do you got?
My wife and I won't name the bank. We had the same account in two different accounts, same bank. We were going away for the weekend. I don't know, Vegas or Orlando or something. Anyway, we wrote a check out of her account to put in my account to cover a bunch of bills. It was $10,000. Well, the signature didn't look like her handwriting, so they flagged it, and all those checks went through and bounced.
Ooh.
And I didn't figure out, you know, I got $400 or $500 worth of bounced checks with the bank, and I called them up, and I said, you took time to see if the signature didn't look right, but you can't call us and let us know.
Right.
And I didn't find out till, like I said, 2 or 3 weeks later when everything was bouncing. We had NSF. Is there anything I can do with that? Because I tried to get them to waive it, and they said no way. But they saw the signature didn't look the same, so they just pulled it, didn't deposit the money, and I got stuck with all the bounced check fees.
Now, they had a responsibility to call you if they didn't think the signature looks right. They had a responsibility to call you, and they absolutely are going to have to eat all those overdraft charges. And
how would I go about that, though? Because already it's been a year. I've called them, got to the supervisor as far as I could, but when it come down to it, they said no, it's not their responsibility, and they won't pull them off. And now, you know, collections and all that stuff. And but yeah, the way I see it is, how could you take time to say, "Oh, signature ain't matched"? Someone had to look at that by hand, probably on a computer. We need to call our
sir,
you know, customer.
Yeah,
and
sir,
say, hey, you're
displaying inappropriate anger. As a courtesy, I can refund one fee only.
Yeah, oh yeah, you'll get that.
Yeah,
but that happens to so many people, Mike.
And we should take that a step further, because the law is about to change here in a couple of days, isn't it, in regards to overdraft fees?
Yes, it is.
What should I do?
You're going to have to file a lawsuit, and it depends on how much money. How much money's involved?
Well, the check that was supposed to go back to Monarco was $10,000, which they didn't put in.
But how much are all the fees?
We wrote checks, and everything came about five and some change, the amount of bounced checks.
Yeah, you're going to have to go ahead and file a small claims action. That's what I would do.
In my own county?
Yeah, file a small claims action in your own county.
Against them. But
yep.
One question before I let you go. Do the computer read that, or someone would have to read that by hand to say, hey, that don't match?
I don't know. I don't work in a bank.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He's not a banker, buddy. And that's another thing, because depending on what kind of bank you have,
right?
I mean,
if it's a credit union versus a local bank or a national bank, there are different rules.
And then there are ones like he's just saying, well, they'll flag you. Me, I know with my bank, if I write a check or use my check card that is out of sync with what I normally write, say I'll write something for $500 and they won't say anything, but if I write something for $2,000, oh, trust me, they put the stop on my card, they do everything, and they call me and say, is this for real or not?
That might be something to talk about next week, because I know those new regulations go into effect mid-month.
And what they can charge.
I think this is our friend Toby. He purchased a vehicle.
Oh, good for you, Toby.
Toby, how are you?
Hello. Ahoy.
Ahoy. Say hi to Mike Chiannopoulos and tell him what you got yourself into.
Hey, hello,
Mike.
I bought a car about a month ago, and I bought it for my wife. And the car is, I think it was a Northern Flood car that they brought down, refurbished, and tried to resell it. I've made one payment on it already, but I don't want to keep the bank. It's dangerous. I financed it through a bank,
Why don't you want to keep it? What's wrong with the car?
Yeah, what's wrong with the car, Toby?
He thinks it's a flood car.
I got a shopping list. I mean, there's all kinds of things. The key falls out on the floor. The headlights turn off when you turn the right signal on. I already spent $500 on the drivetrain. The drive line was about to fall off.
Did it have a salvage title on it?
I don't know. I haven't seen the title. I set up and answered it, so the title probably went straight to the bank.
Yeah. You do have some recourse. There's a lemon law here, and so you do have some recourse. You need to talk to somebody who does that kind of work, and they'll tell you what your rights are under the lemon law. I mean, the problem that you're going to be in is, you know, how much money am I going to spend getting my money back? Am I going to spend $8,000 getting $5,000 back? That's what you really need to look at.
Right. Do you know what the lemon law is?
Yeah, I don't. I don't do a lot of that kind of work, but if you want to call me, I'll look it up.
I would imagine if they misrepresented a salvage vehicle as a normal vehicle, there would be hell to pay. Yeah.
Well, there's fraud. That's fraud. That's different than the lemon law. So you can call me 348-349-8010. And I'll do what I can to help you.
And here's the thing, and again, not to stand this, and I know that you don't specialize in that stuff with the lemon law, which you just said, but you will look it up for the guy. Does the lemon law pertain to just new cars?
No.
Or a used car? And I'm going to tell you right now, I found out the hard way multiple times. And Haney and I doing so many car promotions, is you have a used car that the lot gets on a trade-in.
They steal it.
And they will go and look it over and do it the once-over. And if it's a nice car, they'll keep it on their lot. If it is not one of their cars that are up to their specs, they send it off for auction.
Right.
And a lot of the buy-here, pay-here places and small mom-and-pop lots will sometimes get these cards, and you can sometimes get stuck.
That's right.
It's just the way that it is.
It happens.
Yep. Doug on line one. Ahoy, Doug. Say hi to Mike Chinopoulos.
Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi, Doug. What do you got for us today?
Just a quick question about child support and how it's decided who ends up paying. A friend of mine whose wife makes twice as much as he does, recently divorced, and he got slapped with the child support. How can that be fair?
How can they do? They still do the worksheet, don't they?
They do. Yeah, they do a child support guideline worksheet. Okay, but the payor is always going to be the non-primary custodial parent. And the payee is always going to be the primary custodial parent. So if she makes more money than him, all of that goes into the guideline worksheet, and then he has to pay his percentage. So let's say that the state says the total amount of money that they should spend on that kid because she makes so much money is $4,000 a month. If he makes 25% of the income, he has to pay her $1,000 a month. Now, if it were reversed and he got the kid, she'd have to pay him $3,000 a month.
Oh, God.
Okay.
What a nightmare.
Figure that one out.
God.
So that's how he ends up paying child support. But hopefully he's paying a small amount.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get that personal about it, but okay, thank you.
All right, there you go. We are plumb out of time. If you want to get in touch with Mike, give him the office number and the email.
And if you were calling today and couldn't get through, you can reach me at 349-8010 or mike@absolutelaw.net. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, D-Train here. I want to thank you all so much for being such dedicated Stan and Haney podcast listeners. And just want to throw out there, if you're looking for new podcasts to add to your library, please check out the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast. That is my World War II based podcast. And Dave the Waterman and I also host a general topic podcast called The Waterman and D-Train Show. You can find our podcast at 96krock.com, the 96krock phone app, iTunes, and Stitcher. Thanks so much. And now back to the Stan and Haney Show.
True story. Stan and Haney, in the afternoon, glad to have you along. News headlines with Mark Haney, of course, the news coming up in about an hour. And Bok Choy will be here with the jokes to entertain us all. Coming up in less than 1 hour.
Make sure you keep your hand near that button with the door open, because we got a bunch of sailors running around the hall.
It'll be Mark Haney in the news. Let's take a look at the headlines.
This is very distracting. Coming up in less than an hour, our buddy, poor John Voight, once again plays the part of the happy grandfather from afar.
Aww.
John McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group referred to Barack Obama as an Oreo.
I heard it.
A subject that we were talking about yesterday. One in four Americans get no paid vacation time whatsoever.
What?
None. One in four. 25% of all Americans get no paid vacation whatsoever.
Cut my bitching.
Hey, if you're a high schooler going through life rudderless, the FAA will pay you $100,000 to move to New York and become an air traffic controller.
Wow!
That's $100,000 bonus on top of salary.
Wow!
Hmm.
And very little experience necessary. They have, like, pilot programs for high schoolers where they can skip college, go right to the control tower. A 76-year-old bitch is being investigated for killing five husbands and a son for insurance money. Ooh. Woman in New York on her way to the hospital to get treated for a severe asthma attack. She was detained and arrested on her way to the hospital on a bogus prostitution charge.
With an asthma attack.
As it turns out, cigarettes are good for you. We'll tell you why.
Right.
And finally, authorities believe a man may have decapitated himself with a chainsaw.
That's incredible.
I figured out how it's possible.
I know you did.
Well, you could get a running start.
Nope. Lay on the ground, do it on the back of your neck, let gravity take over.
You're liable to get a kickback when it hits the spine.
Yeah, they're very jumpy machines. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than 1 hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark.
You want me to open that door?
I smell something coming down the hallway. Smells like cheap cologne. Hey!
Hey!
I don't have any cologne on.
He never did nothing. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know.
Well, who do you think it is, Larry?
Ed Koch.
Tommy.
Bok Choy, I should explain to you. He's very sensitive to colognes and fragrances of any type, and his windpipe will close up. He's not being rude.
No. But it's not a cologne. You know what? My nephew?
Yes.
Mosquito bite. So they have a bottle of...
What the
Asian
hell?
Stuff.
Ancient Chinese secret?
Yeah, they put them in and that's why I really stink.
Well, you don't have to pour it on them.
If you put them on, you don't have to scratch them.
It's, no, that's itchy. Good.
That's the reason why.
Are you okay? Can you continue?
Yes, it's airing out a little bit now. Thank you, Haney. Thank you for your concern. I mean that.
Look at how many hands am I holding up?
One hand.
Okay.
He had to think about it, but he got it.
Where you at?
I'm at work.
Where am I from?
You're from China.
Okay, let's go.
Let's all have a good laugh.
You know, from the city of Belching.
It's joke time.
Ed Koch.
Bok Choy.
Barack Obama. Rilla.
What?
You what?
Barack Off Obama. To a running start.
Barack Obama. Ruffle up attendees.
Hey, if you can close that now, I think.
There you go.
Yeah, he's fanning it up.
Do the old door fan.
It wouldn't hurt to have a ceiling fan in here.
Hmm.
Barack Obama.
Yes.
Dry up attendees.
What?
Dry up attendees.
Dry up attendee?
Ruddle up attendees.
Rupee?
Riled up?
Rile up attendees. Up an NAACP conference with a speech calling on black to take more responsibility for the action. So Laura know how they will handle tomorrow's speech by John McCain title, Sorry I Own Your Grandparents.
Wow!
Hard hitting.
Barack Obama will deliver a speech in Germany. The topics, for the love of God, people stop asking to smell my fingers. I am not the dude nailing Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. Bunny Mac was heckled?
Bunny Mac.
Bunny Mac was heckled.
Heckled.
Isn't that that bank in California? Bunny Mac.
Yeah. Indy Mac. Heckled for sex jokes he make during Barack Obama.
For sick jokes.
For sex jokes.
Oh, okay.
He make during a Barack Obama fundraiser. Then his eye finally pop out and shot across the room.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to happen every time.
Mm-hmm. A 70...
Bernie Mac?
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're going to just boom.
I think it's thyroid problem.
Yeah, Graves' disease probably.
Yeah.
A 75-year-old San Francisco woman has taken up stripping.
What? How old?
75.
Ouch.
Her ex is getting rape reviews. Except from people who happen to be eating during her act.
Shut up, Hillary!
In a recent poll, Plymouth? Plymouth, Minnesota? Was voted the best place to live in the United States.
Plymouth, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Was voted the best place to live in the United States.
Great country.
A close second. Scarlett Johansson pants. Harley Davidson.
Who?
Harley Davidson.
Davidson will open a museum in Milwaukee. Even cooler, on opening day, customer getting free with a proof of midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis?
Yeah, that can get
with,
you.
With proof of midlife crisis.
The Dalai Lama said it's unfair to call Islam's a violent religion.
Islam.
A violent religion. At least I think that's what he said. The audios always screw up on those Al-Qaeda hostage videos. A hairless squirrel.
A hairless squirrel.
Has been taken to a British animal hospital. We will keep you updated as soon as we hear anything on Mr. Space condition.
Mr. Space condition?
Mr. Spade. David Spade. Oh. It's a David Spade joke. You know, hairless freaking squirrel.
Long way to go.
Yeah.
And a short time to get there.
Some Toronto Blue Jays fan was Madonna. Wore Madonna mask.
Some Toronto Blue Jays fans were
was
Madonna.
Was Madonna.
Yeah.
Wore Madonna mask. To a game against the Yankees over the weekend.
So the Blue Jays fans were wearing Madonna masks at the baseball game.
Over the weekend to taunt A-Rod. As an added bonus, it also allowed them to qualify for the senior citizen discount.
It's true.
She's a freak.
She's a weirdo.
Have you seen photographs of her?
Yeah.
She looks like a man.
I know.
Well, she's doing all that weightlifting and stuff, so she's getting the testosterone and the man hands like Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, okay. It's disgusting.
Miss USA fell at the Miss Universe.
Makes Sheryl Crow look feminine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to our dainty little flowers?
Miss USA fell at the Miss Universe pageant? In Vietnam. In her defense, she was just showing off her talent. An impression of the U.S. dollar?
Ow.
time for a little segment I like to call during the jokes. What letter is this?
L.
Hey!
Today's show brought to you by the letter L.
Miss Venezuela has been crowded. Miss Universe 2008.
Miss Venezuela has been crowded.
Miss Universe 2008. Yeah, but Miss Colombia can rat hold 2 kilos of powder and a bundle of weed. So hold the real winner.
Yowza.
Yowza.
Megan Fox.
Yes.
You got that right.
Say that she liked to do a movie entirely naked.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Yes.
Fine.
And yes, that's her way of acknowledging that the porno tape we did together was leaked. Joan Rivers says she has been cast in season 2 of Celebrity Apprentice. Yeah, it's about time the show action sex appeal. Larry King is coming out with an autobiography.
Larry King.
Hi, Tommy.
Yeah, Larry King's.
Right.
And if you flip through the photo section real fast, you see what the seven stage of death look like wearing suspenders?
Boring.
The seven stages of death look like wearing suspenders.
The seven stages
boring.
Of death.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi flies. He's going to rehab to take care of what she called, quote,
why doesn't she just go away?
Well, she is. Go ahead.
A bit of substance abuse problems.
She's going to rehab.
And after that, it's up to her plastic surgeon to correct what she called a very slight case of meth face. Dane Cooks had been kicked out of his apartment due to his dog pooping all over the place. When rich for common, Dane simply said the words, ham sandwich, over and over again, living frat boys everywhere in stitches.
He's really not funny.
Brooke Hogan recently performed at a nightclub in lingerie.
Yeah, that's Brooke Hogan. That's Hulk Hogan's daughter.
Yeah, right.
She performed in lingerie.
That is, if you consider a jock strap lingerie.
It's true. You know it.
Hundreds of Packer fans held a bring back Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
A Brett Favre.
Stan's known for his breath farts.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Breath fart. Pardon.
Yeah, a breath fart.
Breath fart. Rally in Green Bay. Fortunately, police were able to scare up the crowd before there was any unrest, simply by waving low-fat food. Tony Romo recently fell into a pond. Evidently, Jessica Simpson was wearing a low-cut top, and he slipped on the paddle of Rule Beneath Joe Simpson Mount.
What?
Yeah.
Translation.
I got that.
Yeah, I just didn't know.
But I don't think
I
anybody
heard
else did. What he said was,
yes.
Tony Romo recently fell into a pond. Evidently, Jessica Simpson was wearing a low-cut top, and he slipped on the puddle of drool beneath Joe Simpson's mouth. He has a problem with D's, I think.
The D-R, the the drur sound.
The R is okay.
Yeah.
Scientists say that a woman diet can help treat infertility. See, honey? I told you that swallowing was good for you.
That he's got no problem with.
One in three teenage girls will get pregnant by the age of 20. I guess Maury won't be running out of gas anytime soon.
That's a God's honest truth.
Stan, you are the baby daddy.
Oh. What's up?
Yeah.
The answer, the cover of the New Yorker, and the menu at Cape Crepe and Chowder's.
The cover of the New Yorker and the menu at Cape Crepe and Chowder.
The question. Name two things that be in the sky as tasteless and offensive. The answer. The answer. Belgium company InBev and David Hasselhoff.
Belgian company InBev and David Hasselhoff.
The question, name two things that spent $52 billion on Budweiser over the weekend. The answer, shortcomings.
Shortcomings.
The question, what can you find at a lot of the Vernie Troyer sex video?
Shortcomings.
The answer, Joe Lieberman and Clay Aiken.
Joe Lieberman and Clay Aiken.
The question, name two people who are expect to switch a side any day now.
Easy.
The answer, up for grabs.
Up for grabs.
The question, what question did Arnold Schwarzenegger always answer yes to?
Up for grabs.
I'll be back.
Oh, wait a second. Do you do a Schwarzenegger impression?
I have a proposal for you.
What's that?
California will be no more fire.
Very good.
Yeah! Nice job!
Thank you. Thank you. As if last week, collapse of Indy Mac wasn't bad enough. Analysts say that up to 150 more U.S. banks could fail in the next years, Could yours be the one? Fire out with today's list up there.
Top.
Sign, your bank is about to go out of business.
Top signs, your bank is about to go out of business.
They don't even bother to chain the pens anywhere.
Chain the pens, yeah.
All their money is now 50% off.
Sweet.
Their lending motto was, no prom is too sharp.
What?
No prom.
No prom is too sharp?
No prom. No prom. Is two sub.
Let me see.
Sub prime.
What?
Their lending motto was, no prime is too sub. That's stupid. Who edits these things?
I think Kenny Wilson was doing those.
Their new hours is 10 a.m. to 10.03 a.m.
It's true.
They have been forced to sell three of the stagecoach horse on their logo to Elmer's Glue.
Of the stagecoach
horses on their logo.
Oh, I thought you said whores.
Horse. Even though you deposit 1,000, your last statement read year zero and came with a car featuring a cartoon puppy declaring, oopsie. Instead of toaster, they gave away bread and a book of matches. President Bush declared them in great financial shape. The only interest they are earned in months is from the FBI. When you try to apply for a loan, they slap you in the face and ask how you could be so effing greedy. Security just use the surveillance monitors to watch good time all day. And finally, when you put your cars in the ATM, a tiny midget hiding inside grab it and take up for a bank that actually has some money.
Waiting to sell it.
Good job.
Is this melon?
No, it's cleared out now. What? Don't ever use that stuff again.
You know, and every day, it's always a surprise. You've always got something in your back pocket. I had no idea that you could do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know.
I have a proposal for you. No, that's Italian.
Yeah. Give me the Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Hasta la vista, baby.
How about come with me if you want to live?
Yeah.
Come with me if you want to live. No, that's not it.
You lost it.
Yeah.
Like it was there, gun. And then it was. Yeah. Any other voices that you're working on?
I will kick Gray David out of the office. And then, no, that's not it.
What? He's still stuck on the Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What about George W. Bush? Can you do him?
No, can't do that.
What about the great Jimmy Cagney?
Who was that?
you dirty rat.
Yeah.
So nobody else comes to mind that you can. No. And no politicians, no entertainers.
No, not enough.
What about like Rocky, Sylvester Stallone?
Oh, I think I can, but I couldn't.
You think you can, but
yeah,
you couldn't.
Yeah, it's in the back of my head. I think I can, but I couldn't do it.
Like right. give me a Yo Adrian.
Yeah, Yo Adrian.
Yo Adrian.
Yo Adrian.
Oh,
see?
There he goes. We'll be back. Wow! 96K Rock. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along.
You know, I am what's known.
Oh, you're known.
Here we go.
What is it with you guys? Are you supposed to be on my side?
We are on your side. That's why we bring things like this up, to bring it to your attention.
You know, you were very nearly choked out, and I came to your aid.
That's true.
And I thanked you for that. He knows me pretty damn well. And
he wasn't faking.
No. I was not faking. There was some allegedly mosquito repellent.
It was Stan repellent.
No, it was
repellent.
Like itch cream or something.
Whatever it was.
But it stunk to high holy heaven.
I went into a seizure.
Your throat started closing up.
It was so strong.
And you were doing the old middle school thing, pulling your shirt collar up over
your
face.
He's known for that. Yeah.
I was really worried.
That'll stop a fart, but not a chemical.
Yeah.
But I am what's known.
Fold your arms.
I am what's known.
Yes.
in the consumer sense as an early adopter. What? A lot of times that can also mean sucker.
What does that mean now?
It means that I am interested in new technology.
Yes, you are. You are always ahead of the curve.
And I wanted to tell you about it because most times when you are an early adopter and you want to be first in line, great example is the iPhone, where the people that were early adopters last summer got screwed because the price came down $200 in a couple of weeks and the new version is supposedly better, but even then they got software problems.
Gotcha.
So in reality, it's better to wait for the bugs to be worked out and let someone else have the headaches. Wait a little bit before you get new technology. But I got something, and I was shocked because it did what it, not only what it said it would do, it did it better than it promised to, and it was quick and easy right out of the box. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I know that you subscribe to the Netflix service.
Yes, I do. I enjoy it.
Then you may have noticed over the past year or so that they have started making... it's a relative, in the grand scheme of Netflix's library, it's a pretty small amount that they've made available for you to watch on demand on your computer.
Yes, you can click it and it's watch now.
Yeah, and you have your DVD queue and your instant queue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of months ago, they announced something that they're calling simply the Netflix box.
Oh, geez.
And it's very small. I'm trying to think if we got anything comparable.
Size
here.
Of a toaster?
Smaller.
Size
about
of...
About like that.
Okay, about the...
Like a modem?
Like about the size of a modem.
Yeah. And what this does is you're supposed to simply hook the box up to your internet connection, plug it in, they give you a simple activation code on Netflix, and then within minutes, your instant queue is on your television. And I hooked it up, expecting the worst, to be honest with you. Figuring I'd probably have to put some work into this to make it work right, and then it probably never would. It was the best out-of-the-box experience that I've ever had. I just plugged the damn thing in, and it worked immediately. The quality is unbelievable. And when I've told people about it, they go, well, I've tried that watch now on the computer, and it's got hiccups, and it doesn't work right.
Yeah.
Here's the beauty of it. The box goes directly to your internet connection, so it bypasses your virus-ridden computer.
Hmm.
You've got your pure broadband going into this one box that does nothing else but play the movies from Netflix. It's... DVD quality right now, and it's $99, and it comes with the component outputs and the HDMI.
Wow.
Now, they don't have high-def quality yet, but they will. This box will be upgraded, and they will continue to add titles over the years, but I was just shocked at how cheap it was and the fact that it worked even better than they claim that it did.
Huh?
That's cool. It's a cool little device.
Yeah, normally you're dealing with something like that. You're dealing with, you know, like Wi-Fi problems and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's got built-in Wi-Fi. I chose to go the wired route with the Ethernet so that you get premium quality.
Well,
and it also showed me how effed up my computer is because I thought my internet connection wasn't all that great.
Okay.
Boom!
Fast.
Faster than fast. And it... enables you to watch stuff, especially now with the limited selection that they have on the instant thing. I've found myself watching stuff I might not ordinarily watch. I ran across this series called Airline.
Oh, yeah, I've watched that.
What's that?
It was on A&E.
Is that what it was on?
Yeah, it was basically people in airports and them dealing with their problems. And most 90% of it is people too drunk to get on a plane.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
So it shows the airport security dealing with these passengers and their problems and missing flights.
It was fascinating, and having this thing, it was all there on demand, so I could watch we were on vacation. I watched a whole damn season of it. But there was one episode that really disturbed me.
What is it?
And I should find out who these guys are so you could see the picture. They were out of Chicago, and the people at the airport were all excited because they had a plane load of radio contest winners on their way from Chicago to Orlando, And the airport was all abuzz because the BJ Lobo show, or whatever the hell it was coming to the airport.
Woo!
Wow.
And I got a look at these guys, and I thought, oh, man. I hope to God we don't come across like that.
What, like BJ and Lobo?
Well, they look like I don't know. I don't know who they are. I'll have to look up and see who the actual show was. But what they looked like was the poor man's Mark and Brian, where you had the short guy with the dark hair, the mustache, the goat, and the backwards baseball cap and Hawaiian shirt.
Every market's got one.
And then you had the taller guy with the frizzy blonde hair.
Every market's got the radio idiots.
Were they wearing Hawaiian shirts?
Yeah, the one guy was.
Of course!
The other guy with the frizzy blonde hair was taller, more athletic, and lower key wardrobe, but the short guy was the yapper with the Hawaiian
right.
shirt and the backwards baseball cap, probably hiding his bald head.
Yeah, and that's true.
But the
acting
airport,
like they're too cool for the room.
The airport was all abuzz because they had their, you know, 70 contest winners that were going to take over the whole jet to go to Orlando
yeah.
on vacation with the BJ Lobo show.
Woo!
The baggage checkers and the ticket agents were all just a Twitter because BJ and Lobo were supposed to be in the airport.
Give me a break. Who are they really? And what's their big deal?
I don't know. Look it up, Tommy. It was a Chicago radio station called The Killer Bee.
Oh, okay. That should be easy enough to find who these two clowns are.
But all of the passengers were there at the gate, you know, the series of chairs around the counter. And all of the airline people, all they could talk about was, oh, we get to meet BJ and Lobo from the Bee. Well, BJ and Lobo
yeah.
went through to the first class, like, Admiral's Lounge.
Right.
And somebody... You don't. It's all off camera, but evidently somebody got the word. You guys need to come down here and meet your listeners.
Yeah.
And so they show up, and the frizzy haired blonde guy said virtually nothing, and the short guy with the backwards baseball cap and the goatee
yeah.
tried to say stuff that was funny, but it really wasn't. And just tried to throw off that vibe that he's funnier than you are, and you damn well better know it. And it was just awkward. And you could tell the lady at the end, the one like ticketing agent that was so excited, she goes, yeah, I got to meet BJ and Lobo. That was great.
Yeah. And you know what? I think radio program directors should realize this. When you go and meet your listeners,
it's always a disappointment.
It's a disappointment because
I feel bad for the listener.
Right. They're expecting so much more, and the whole image is busted.
But seeing it with somebody else involved in the listeners, it's like I think everybody expected some sort of floor show.
Of course.
And the two radio guys were like, we're getting on a plane for Orlando.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You're talking
right.
Eddie V and Jobo?
That's it! That's it! Eddie V and Jobo.
Do you see a picture?
Not yet.
I want you to look at the picture and tell me if I described them properly.
Eddie V and
Jobo with Erica.
With Erica. She didn't
There's
get
Eddie V.
Yeah, that's the blonde guy.
Okay.
With a touched up photo. A lot of airbrushing and
so
makeup.
So it's his show.
Yeah.
Because they just show him. The short, dark-haired guy
yeah.
is the one that was really... You would have thought it was his show.
Jobo. Give me a break! No, give me a break! You know what?
I just hope that we are never perceived like that.
They would like us to be perceived like that.
Because they appear personable. But they're really not.
See, there's their little... They got a little slideshow rolling by there. So
yeah.
You can see the schmucks on parade.
Yeah, and they are like, twisted ball caps and big laughs and giggles and all of that stuff. That is the thing.
But you know what struck me?
What?
Is how legitimately excited the listeners and all of those people were to meet them.
Because
and what a gigantic letdown it was when they did meet them.
How many people have we interviewed on this show, heroes of ours, that you go and you finally meet them and you say, what a jerk.
Yeah. You conducting an interview here?
What are we going to do? You know, you think, oh, man, I've got Chuck Yeager coming on. the right stuff. And he turns out to be a jerk, and it destroys your whole image of him.
No, I don't want to, you know.
And so you got Z-Jo and Hobo.
Eddie V and Jobo.
Whatever. And every town's got them. And the radio station thinks that these are big-time celebrities. Let me tell you something. What we do is the low end of the entertainment spectrum. We do what we do, and we do it to the best of our ability. But go and throw us out there to do a song and dance, and it destroys...
Well, and that's what I'm trying to get across to you. There was a palpable expectation that something would happen
and nothing
when BJ
did.
And Lobo finally showed up. And nothing happened.
No,
they just wanted
not.
To get on the plane.
They want to go on their vacation, too. What more do you want? We got you all free vacations. Let us alone. It's the truth. You want to know? You want to break image? You want to go and never mind BJ and Lobo. You want to break an image? We put together a show with sound effects and people and comments and people in other rooms. Tommy's in another room. You want to know something? You want to go and burst our bubble? Take a look at that live video blog we got. That's the most embarrassing thing that I... You know what? It disappointed me. I'm like, oh, geez, I wonder how we come across on camera like that. Well, if you just put a camera on a tripod and run our voice, what a disappointment.
Now, on the positive side of it, what I took away from it, was it is really cool that we are on that lowest rung of entertainment / show business. The advantage to that is that all of these people felt this just solid connection with these two clowns.
Because they hear them every morning, and they hear them while they're having their breakfast, while they're driving to work, and there's a bond there. You think you know them, and they are... Nobody in their right mind can be off the wall wacky 24 hours a day.
You've accused me of that, though.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's the low end, and take any kind of actor or radio or TV or movie person and take them out of their element.
Well, in that
and
same
ask them to do something else.
In that same show, they had. Randy Travis went through the airport.
Oh.
And Cisco, the guy that did the thong song, mm-hmm. Cisco the Dragon?
Yeah. Thong song.
They were the celebrities that went through that season. And they sent the black girl out, the supervisor, to get Randy Travis.
Yeah.
Very polite, gave him excellent service, met him at the curb, made sure his bags were taken care of, but he was flying coach. And she's explaining, all of our passengers are VIPs, but when somebody like this comes through, we just want to make sure that things go smoothly and he doesn't get mobbed. And then later they take a wide shot. Randy Travis sitting there at the airport with everybody else. Nobody even said hi. And then they asked her, that's a big star coming through here. What's your favorite Randy Travis song? And she stared at the camera.
Yeah. So what are they?
And Cisco, the guy who did the thong song, they went over and said hello to him. He was sitting on a trash can. Nobody bothering him either.
Nice.
Z-Bo and Hobo.
But Z-Bo and Hobo, all hell broke loose.
Yep. Over there. What? This is it? Where's the spinning of the plates and the juggling and the funny comedy? What the?
See, that's where you need somebody running interference to explain that nothing happens.
Yeah, exactly. We got to take a break. We're going to have some. Here's the thing, and somebody suggested this to me, and I
just cringed watching those guys. I was
going to go into a commercial break right now. Let's see if we can find the commercial where stands the buffoon.
All right. Oh, come on, Stan.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
And now the news with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Just last week, the Reverend Jesse Jackson was overheard saying he wanted to cut Barack Obama's nuts off because he was supposedly talking down to black voters. On Sunday, while discussing Jackson's comments, John McLaughlin of the McLaughlin Group referred to presidential candidate, Democratic nominee Barack Obama as an Oreo. Yep. Now, if you're unfamiliar, Oreo is a derogatory term for a black person who's seen as being a little too white. In other words, black on the outside, white on the inside, just like the cookie. We also would have accepted Hydrox. The poor man's Oreo.
Yeah, right, indeed.
McLaughlin asked the panelists, quote, does it frost Jesse Jackson that someone like Obama, who fits the stereotype blacks once labeled as an Oreo, a black on the outside, a white on the inside, that an Oreo should be the beneficiary of the long civil rights struggle which Jesse Jackson spent his lifetime fighting for?
And he's an old guy, that McLaughlin. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was younger, he used the term.
Among many other terms.
He used it. It came off his lips very easily.
In the past few weeks, there have been two near disastrous collisions at airports in the New York area. According to officials, one of the main reasons is that there simply aren't enough air traffic controllers. So, to lure...
Okay.
He thinks that's his word now.
Right.
So, to lure new recruits from around the country, the Federal Aviation Administration is offering a $100,000 bonus to air traffic controllers who agree to move to New York and work at one of the city's five radar centers. Here is the breakdown. Air traffic controllers who take the FAA's deal will be given $27,000 right away. Hello, here's $27,000.
Like a signing bonus.
Yeah, thank you.
With another $75,000 spread over the next 4 years. Now, keep in mind, this is on top of salary, in addition to.
Yeah.
So when you walk through the door, yeah. 27 big ones.
Exactly.
And the FAA must really be desperate. They are actively recruiting in high schools and through online advertising on MySpace and Craigslist.
Wow, jeez.
According to the FAA, high school graduates can go straight from high school into a training program to become controllers in training before eventually becoming full-fledged air traffic controllers. Straight out the door of your high school to the FAA. Because, you know, who wouldn't want their pilot getting directions from a kid who chose a career based on a MySpace ad? You know, we've been dealing with, and rightly so, we've been dealing with some difficult issues. There's been some legitimate bad news lately.
Yes, there has been.
But when I get legitimate good news to pass along, I don't hesitate. Unless you've been in a coma for the last 50 years, you're well aware of just how bad cigarettes allegedly are for your health.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out there's another side of that coin. because nicotine has positive effects as well. Yesterday, researchers from the Institute of Psychology at King's College in London announced they're developing a pill which would mimic the effects of nicotine to be used by Alzheimer's patients. Maybe wondering why.
Why?
Stan, I'm glad you asked me that question.
Thank you, Haney.
Because nicotine stimulates the brain. It also boosts a person's memory and ability to concentrate.
Oh.
What?
Doesn't help mine.
Since the drug would be in pill form, it could copy the positive effects of smoking without causing cancer, emphysema, or any of the other alleged harmful things you get from smoking.
Alleged.
According to the researchers, it's possible that they could develop a nicotine pill within the next few years, which they believe could actually help stave off dementia and allow people suffering from Alzheimer's a few extra months of independent life. Which, believe me, that's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Call it Nicotol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time Angelina Jolie either adopts or pops out a kid, her long-suffering father, our friend, John Voight, has to act the part of the happy grandfather from the other side of the world. We have his comments regarding the birth of Angelina and Brad Pitt's twins, Knox and Vivian. He says, quote, "All I can say is, it's like any other father. It's the most exciting thing to have new souls coming in. There is nothing more exciting than that, and that they are Angie and Brad's babies. It's a wonderful thing. Of course, my heart is with them, and all my love goes to them. We bring you now, sadly, the last part of John Voight's quote, which is probably the most germane to the situation. John says, if they call me, I would find a way to get there. Last November, 40-year-old Monica Gonzalez of New York City had a pretty serious asthma attack. That's nothing to fool with, by the way.
No.
When she realized her medication was not working, Monica had limited options. Pretty much the only option she had was to walk 4 blocks to the nearest hospital to get help. The only problem was that in order to get to that emergency room, Monica was forced to walk through a part of town known as a hot spot for whores. Monica was on her way to the hospital, walking down the street in the middle of a serious asthma attack, gasping for air, when a 30-year-old police officer named Sean Spencer hopped out of his unmarked SUV and busted Monica for prostitution. Apparently, the officer believed he recognized Monica as a known streetwalker, and according to Monica, he said he saw her going up to a car to whore herself out. Monica swore she was not a hooker and began crying, thus gasping for air even harder, that she desperately needed to get to a hospital. He did not believe her. He arrested her. When Monica got to the precinct, another officer noticed how asthmatic she was and immediately called an ambulance. And on May 29th, when the full story came out of what really happened, all charges against Monica were dropped. Not surprisingly, Monica has now hired an attorney.
Oh, you better believe it.
And is suing Officer Spencer personally, as well as the department, for unspecified damages.
She'll win.
That will never see the light of day.
Yeah, well, they'll settle. She won't have to work another day.
Unless she wants to.
Unless she wants to.
On the streets.
Right. A hobby, if you will.
Pouring herself.
Yeah. Every now and then we come across a story that's so crazy, it seriously sounds like the plot of a really bad movie. This is one of those stories. 76-year-old Betty Newmar of Augusta, Georgia, is in jail waiting to go on trial for allegedly hiring a hitman to kill her fourth husband, a man named Harold Gentry, in 1986. And now authorities have started re-examining the death of Betty's oldest son, as well as the mysterious deaths of four of Betty's five dead husbands.
Whoa!
We now bring you the evidence against her. In 1950, Betty married a 19-year-old gentleman named Clarence Flynn. A year and a half later, they had a son named Gary.
Hi, Gary.
And
hi.
And in 1970, several years after their relationship ended, Clarence was found murdered at his auto shop outside Cleveland, Ohio. Shortly after Betty and Clarence's marriage fell apart, she married a gentleman named James Flynn.
Oh, Jimmy.
Had a thing about guys named Flynn.
Yeah.
James and Betty were together for a short time until, according to Betty, he, quote, died on a pier somewhere in New York in the mid-1950s. Husband number three was a gentleman named Richard Sills.
Richie.
Richard met Betty in Florida in the 1960s and was found dead in his apartment in 1965 after Betty said he pulled out a gun during an argument and shot himself. In 1985, Betty collected $10,000 in life insurance when her son Gary was found shot to death in his apartment. His death was ruled a suicide. Husband number four was Harold Gentry. Harold was shot to death in his home, and Betty collected $20,000, at least $20,000, in insurance money. Finally, in 1991, Betty married a gentleman named John Newmar.
Johnny.
John actually lasted several years with Betty until last October, when he died of what was originally ruled as sepsis.
What?
Authorities are now investigating to see if perhaps John may have been poisoned. We will keep you updated on this story.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill?
Sepsis.
Yeah.
This story is a little short on details, but we thought you'd like to hear it. Recently, 58-year-old David Fayall of England was found dead in his apartment. No, he didn't know Betty. His head had been severed from his body. His corpse was found lying next to a chainsaw. According to police, the working theory is that David was so upset about being evicted from his apartment building, which was about to be demolished, that he took his own life by chainsaw. Apparently, residents of the 71 other apartments had already moved out, but David refused to go. He tried unsuccessfully to fight the eviction in court, but when he got the official eviction notice, they believe David snapped and chose death by chainsaw. The man cut off his own effing head.
Unbelievable.
Remember when you cut your head off and mailed it to Bjork?
Yeah, years ago. That was really effed up.
Yeah.
That's the news. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Thank you, Mark.
For the first time ever. What is it that Stan and Haney look for in a lady? Well, let's start with glorious gans. And then kick them high in a pair of white cowboy boots. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. Let's get an update on traffic for your drive home. Hi, Tommy.
Looking for a relief?
Well, hold it. Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact.
I got to stop that. I'll get it.
Okay.
You all right?
I appreciate that. I could have done it, but I prefer not to.
Yeah, let me just put it in myself. I don't know why.
You're going to put it in yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, well, please don't do that in front of me.
Look at him.
I'm going to do it manually.
Sick.
There you go. I've inserted it.
Oh.
Let me put in a stop valve. Hold on.
Well, you don't want to get it too far.
Now I think I'm all set. never felt better. Hi, Tommy.
K-Rock Traffic. Here's Tommy Trafficante.
Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Tommy. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Tommy. It's a drop in the barrel, so to speak. But today was the second biggest oil drop price in 17 years.
Well, that doesn't mean much because you've had the biggest hikes.
It's all relative. But let me explain. Oil prices plummeted by the second largest margin on record Tuesday as investors feared further decline in U.S. demand after hearing comments from the Fed saying that, with all the costs going up, that we're going to need less oil. Light sweet crude fell $6.44 a barrel to settle at $138.74 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Now, that's in dollars. The biggest drop ever was in 1991 when oil was trading at just $32 a barrel.
Which was considered high.
Yep. And that was because President Bush won. Released the Strategic Oil Reserve before we went into the first Gulf War. And it dropped a barrel of oil by more than $10, $10.56. Mm. That amounted to a 33% drop in oil.
Right.
Today's drop of, what was it, $6?
Six and change, yeah.
4.4% drop. Oil opened today at $146 a barrel, dipped at 11 o'clock this morning down to $135 a barrel, and then at the close climbed back up to $138.
It's just, the whole thing is just mind-boggling. I've been talking about it for years, and I know that most of the time you don't hear anything I say.
What?
But I've been talking for years about just the simple fact of peak oil, that it is a finite resource, and we've been acting like it's not. Then you throw China and India into the mix, and I drink your milkshake.
But if you remember, while we were on vacation, oil took a dip like that, too. Went down several dollars a barrel.
Yeah.
And then shot back up to a record high.
The bottom line is nobody knows what's going on. It's, what, 138 now?
Yeah, 138.74.
Okay. While we're sleeping tonight, hypothetically, Ahmadinejad walks up to a podium somewhere in the most horrible part of the world and says into a microphone, F you, George Bush. Now, whether he does anything about it or not, the price of oil will go up $5.
Yeah. Right. Do you know what I thought about, and nobody has said this in the state of Florida, or at least I haven't heard it. Let's go back. We've been very lucky, and again, I'm not going to talk about it specifically to jinx it, but we've been very lucky. We haven't had a hurricane in the area. Wait a second. We haven't had one in 2 years.
Remember what happened the last time
you did
that.
That's why I said I'm not talking about it. I'm just using it as a reference, so I don't want to jinx it. 2 years. Do you remember when Wilma came through and Charlie came through, how prices at the pump spiked? We were paying in the low $2, and I remember when Charlie came through for a few weeks, it was $3.15. It went from like $2.25 a gallon for like a month to $3.15. We're floating around $4.05 for a gallon right now. If a storm came through here, can you imagine what the prices are going to be?
It's interesting that you bring that up, and the fact that there were those couple of days when we were on vacation where it went down. One of the reasons that it went down at that point was because that Bertha veered off to the north and immediately $5 off the barrel.
If the United, and I'm not saying our area. If the United States gets popped with a hurricane, you're going to see inflated prices like you wouldn't believe, regardless of what the cost of a barrel of oil is.
I was telling you earlier about T. Boone Pickens, the Texas oilman.
Yeah.
Who's paid for advertising out of his own pocket to talk about energy. One of the things, I won't go into his whole deal, but this is a real eye-opener when you think about it in real terms. He says, at current oil prices, we will send $700 billion out of the country this year alone. That is four times the annual cost of the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
And the people we are sending this money to don't like us.
Nope.
That money can buy a lot of Chinese weaponry.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, guys. Hey, man, these oil prices you guys are talking about, I'm in the financial field, and it's sick. And I don't see it getting any better.
What part of the financial field are you in?
I'm an advisor.
So you're a financial advisor, been doing it for a while?
Yep.
And you don't see it getting any better. Today, the drop of $6 a barrel, just a teaser. It's going to pop back up tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And then it's back to the usual. It'll go to 410 and 415, and then we see it at 399 and go, wow, it's back down again, and feel happy about that.
And and in your business, you have to see this a lot more up close and personal than we do, looking at it from a distance. But in the climate that we're in right now, a whisper can bring down a gigantic company. Isn't that true?
Oh, absolutely.
Look at the whispering about the banks.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Any bad press, anything the prices will plummet.
In your opinion, was Bear Stearns taken down on purpose?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
Because they actually were able to show after the fact that they did have the liquidity that they said that they did, and that they think that it was a couple of hedge funds got together and said, we're going to take them down.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. They were talking about J.P. Morgan, and instead of J.P. Morgan going down, Bear Stearns going down and taking a fall. I don't think so.
But it's amazing because especially in the financial sector, which it's the largest part of our economy. It overtook manufacturing back in the 70s. There's so much that's on paper and it's worth what we say it's worth.
I agree. And it's dangerous. I have to deal with it with clients all day long, and then it's rough. It's rough, but I can tell you it's not going to get any better.
All right, pal, thanks. Close that door.
I bet he gets yelled at a lot.
Yeah. Ahoy.
That was heartfelt.
Funny, man.
Never even heard it.
But look at
good
you.
Good job.
You're like an iceberg over there.
Yeah.
Doesn't get to you.
Cool as a cucumber.
And, you know, it's been a good day. Look at that. You thought you were going to need a nice pill today.
Yeah.
Just fine without it.
I can still take a nice pill. It wouldn't hurt. I got the rest of the night. Ahoy.
Hi, ahoy. It's Scott again. I just wanted to have a rebuttal against the guy who said that it couldn't run a car up the road. It's not supposed to be the whole fuel purpose. I'm talking about that hydrogen.
Right, yeah, no, right. It's a partial replacement.
Yeah, we
covered
that.
And the more cells you use, the more gas it displaces. Yeah, we covered that. Yeah.
Okay, all just right. Making sure, because
no problem. It
really seems like, you know, people should be real, you know, interested. I know Wink News did a special last night, but nobody else is talking about it.
Well, we are, sir.
We are, and I want you to rest easy.
Ahoy, guys. You guys are always doing everything great. I love Stan and Haney. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, buddy.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
But what we really need is national leadership on this issue, because right now the status quo is supposed to be okay, and it's not. There is no reason in the world that the United States of America cannot be energy independent.
Wow.
The leaps and bounds that they have made with the nuclear technology. A nuclear plant built today has absolutely nothing to do with the Three Mile Island style plants. They've come so far with that. We've got
that's where I say our efforts should go, mm-hmm. is nuclear, because you're going to have, that's the energy source of the future, in my opinion.
50% of our electrical energy is supplied by coal. If we displace that with nuclear, or wind, that frees up the coal so we can liquefy the coal, use that as fuel for our vehicles.
And
you're
right.
We're solved.
1978 in Three Mile Island, they wouldn't be built like that today. And you can go and have an energy source that's unlimited.
Yep.
McCain wants that. He wants to do that.
He's not really sure.
Nah.
He doesn't understand economics or computers.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I love John McCain, but I don't know if I've said this on the air before. I know I've thought it, but it's almost like the same thing that happened to Al Gore in 2000. John McCain is now not allowed to be John McCain.
Yeah.
He has to say what they tell him to say, and he's clearly uncomfortable doing that. If they just let him be himself, he could probably do pretty well.
Well, in an election campaign, you can't necessarily do that because you have to get elected. You would hope.
But he doesn't have his own party treats him like crap.
But you would hope that once he gets in, or Obama gets in, if he gets in, that he would head more towards the middle. It's the same way that I look at the Supreme Court justices, that a Republican will nominate a Supreme Court justice and might be right wing, and once they get on the court, they can't be taken out.
Well,
and over history, you've found many justices that have gone towards the middle.
In modern history, I think Reagan and Sandra Day O'Connor, that was an awesome job by Reagan, because she was often the decision maker on that court, and I thought she always saw things very evenly. You couldn't count her in one camp or the other.
Keep in mind, when you're on the Supreme Court, and a lot of the Supreme Court justices were there for 40, 45 years, so you're looking at justices who became moderates that were put up there by Eisenhower, Nixon, mm-hmm. Ford, and you gotta hope that, McCain's got to be elected, Obama's got to be elected, but especially McCain, that he's got to go to that right to get the support that he needs and then be himself.
We out of time?
Yes.
I want to say one last thing. if it happens, and they're saying that it's looking that way, if McCain is forced to put Romney on that ticket, that is the kiss of death.
Yep.
Because you think the evangelicals don't like him now? Ask an evangelical what they think of the Mormon religion.
Exactly. If Mitt goes on that ticket, then pave the road in gold for Obama, because he's going right to the White House.
Absolutely.
Plain and simple. If Mitt, they put make him put Mitt on that mm-hmm. ticket.
Yeah.
We will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you now with this.
Maybe send HW, the intern, out to get everybody coffees.
Okay.
I'll throw him a fin, tell him to come back with some coffees for
but
everybody.
But not for Haney. He likes those vitamin shots.
Yeah, I know. Well, oh, that's fine. He's got a pocket full of vitamin shots. It's 2 in the afternoon.
Right.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with
what's it's half method? Vitamin B12,
right.
Half vodka.
Yeah, I'm telling you, these kids that get on this Red Bull and vodka kick, that's a lot of sugar and a lot of liquid when you can condense it all down in here and get some B12.
Right. That's great. Good B12. Good, healthy B12.
I think it's also got B3 and B6.
Oh, you
it's
don't
got
say.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thiamine, niacin.
Right.
Yeah, my eyes are too bad.
Focusin, I think it's got that.
Yeah, Focusin.
Napanol.
Yeah, I like that point in time when the pharmaceutical industry decided to shed all dignity and start making medicines that sound like what they do.
Right.
Like, you know, Erectol.
Yeah.
You know, I got a buddy in town who actually we talked to years ago when he was in the Marines in Iraq. Now,
right.
he's still over there, but as a contractor. So he's been there since the thing started, and he doesn't watch TV over there. I guess it's somewhat available, but the TV was on while we were on vacation. Late night shows are on,
yeah.
And they're constantly running the male enhancement ads, and his jaw just dropped to the floor. He goes, Is this regular TV they're running this stuff on?
Try Erectol.
Yeah. Extensi.
Yeah.
Extensi.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Lead in your Pensanol.
Pensanol.
Stiffitol.
These are medications not to be played with. All right, this is
the best though.
Turgidin.
Yeah. The best though is when they get like vitamin pills and package them up to look like medicine, like they you should need a prescription
right.
for this, but no. You
what's
don't.
That fat pill that I see periodically on the weekends? I was seeing it on the horse racing channel a lot. It was this woman that was all dead serious and said, if you need to lose 10 or 15 pounds, this is not for you.
Oh.
This is for only if you need to lose 80
pounds. Are they still running those?
Yeah,
I think it's Pacitol.